we found that people of color are incarcerated more often. They are given longer sentences. They receive higher bails. They are subject to less favorable plea bargains, and on and on and on.
Why do you think this situation exists?
Well, it's easy to jump to conclusions as to why it exists. Clearly, there is something going on that results in this disparate treatment of people of color. The answer, I don't know. One of the things I can tell you, one of the things that we as a court are doing, we are about to, within the next probably 3 to 4 months, launch a data collection study which will identify the people who come into the judicial system. It will analyze what happened to them, what the disparities actually are. You know, most of what we, or a good portion of what we work with now, is anecdotal. And, well, that's fine. It can tell you something. It can't tell you as much as the hard data can.
Let's take it from the point of view of a white person going into the criminal justice system. By contrast, what happens to them?
Well, we looked at the disparities, and so they are being treated presumably more favorably. We know on a national level, I think the numbers show us, that using, just as an example, drug crime, that whites use and abuse drugs at pretty much the same rate as people of color. Well, then why is it that there is such a disparity in the numbers in our prisons? And I'd be the first to say that there aren't any simple answers to any of this or simple solutions. But clearly, at some level, particularly where we have the numbers with respect to drug crime, where there are such gross disparities, there has to be a reason that those disparities exist. And one of the things we're going to look at, as an example, when we do get the hard data, is we'll be able to look at what's happening to the white defendants that come in to the system. Are we treating them differently? Is the judicial system treating them differently? And that may well be the case. But without the hard data, you can't say that. And if we are, then we have to clean our own house.
One person I talked to suggested this as a scenario. Not a total explanation, just a piece of the explanation. And that is that the drug dealers and gang members discovered Minnesota and the Twin Cities around the mid to late 80s, decided that we were a relatively new and lucrative market, came in, did their thing. We've put a good number of them away in prison. Some of the attendant violence has apparently declined. And so this person was spinning out a theory that the imprisonment ratio disparity is a blip on the screen. It's going to pass. We're going through a period of time where we're putting away the drug dealers, if you will. What do you think about that blip on the screen theory?
Well, we don't have the data to see whether it's a blip on the screen. And I don't know whether it is or it isn't.
You're taking a very careful and measured approach to this. You do not appear in the mood to leap to conclusions by saying, yes, the police are out there enforcing the law unequally, and as a result, at that front end of the justice system, that's where the imbalance.
That's real easy to do, but that doesn't get us to any solutions. All that gets us is to a discussion of who is at fault. I'm not quite frankly at this stage that interested in who's at fault. I'm interested in solutions. And that's the real challenge. It's easy to complain. It's easy to point the finger. I don't have any real interest in that. I want to solve the problem. And I think the other members of this court want to solve the problem. And most important, if people are going to have trust and confidence in our court system, which they don't have now, then we have to be about the task of solving the problem.